And good morning. This is WGBH's Morning Edition for this Thursday morning, the 23rd of August. And it's now 10 minutes before 9. And joining me as usual on a Thursday morning is WGBH's Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Well, we're here to talk about the art scene, of course. And we're going to start off with the movie Cosmopolis, which has been making quite a bit of buzz. However, you have had some trouble deciding whether you like this movie. Tell us about that.
It took me about a week to decide. I saw it last week. It opens in theaters tomorrow. It's David Cronenberg's latest film, and that probably says a lot right there, because David Cronenberg has given us films like Existenz and The History of Violence and Eastern Promises. So he tends to go to dark places, and this is based on a 2003 novel by Don DeLillo. And basically what it does is it gives us Robert Pattinson as this 27-year-old billionaire Eric Packer, head of this huge corporation. We start just as he's walking towards his limo, because he's decided that he needs a haircut and he needs to make his way across New York City. His bodyguard tries to tell him that it's going to be difficult because the president is in town, and he has to ask the president of what? He has no awareness sort of the outside world. And that's kind of the basic concept of this film. This billionaire steps into his limo, and it's his ride across town, and he's absolutely consumed by wealth and having wealth and managing his wealth. And it's very interesting that this novel was written in 2003, but very much anticipates the Occupy movement. And at one point, the limo is going through New York City as people see this stretch limo, and they start spray painting the limo. They're trying to get inside, but he's basically hermetically sealed inside. And it's these consistent dialogues that he's having with people coming in and out of the limo about making money, about just sort of sealing yourself off against society. And so it's a talky film. A lot of the dialogue was taken from the film. It was written by David Cronenberg. But it's got a great cast: Samantha Morton, Paul Giamatti, Juliette Binoche, all these people coming in and out of the limo until at the end he has this confrontation with somebody who basically a member of the 99%.
Uh-huh. Now, is this the whole movie takes place on this limo ride?
Most of it does.
Really?
Except for when he finally reaches his destination. So that it's why it's such an interesting concept. And for most of it, it really is compelling. And you have to have a cast of actors of this caliber in order to sustain it. And anybody who dismisses Robert Pattinson for simply being in the Twilight movies, you can let go of that, because in this film, he's really, really good.
No vampire tendencies here.
No, well, he does, but of sort of a cyber capital sort.
So this is quite a limo ride. A lot of cross-town traffic. It takes a couple of hours to get across town.
Yes, not that it bothers him. And it's a very tricked-out limousine, so he doesn't really have to care.
Wow.
He can do everything, and I mean everything, including one very sort of intimate doctor's exam that he has inside the limo. I mean, again, this is a very typical David Cronenberg film.
What made you kind of reluctant to embrace this film?
Well, because in a way, it almost seems a little too talky for you. Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to be a little lofty with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I struggled. Is it just too clever for its own good? But at the end of the day, you're left thinking about it, as I was, for an incredible amount of time, deliberating all of these different points. And again, because it has such resonance to today, I think that's why in the end I decided that I did like it. It's a little too long, but know what you're going into.
Okay, well, half a thumb up or something. The next topic is fascinating to me, because this is a real labor of love for some people who are bringing teenage artists to the fore and allowing them to have a space to actually market their work. Tell us about this.
This is terrific. This is Artists for Humanity, which many people might know. It's a program that it's now been in existence since 1991. And what they do is they're based in South Boston. They have their headquarters, the Epicenter, which is one of the first green buildings in Boston. And they employ kids. They employ mostly Boston public school students who come and want to make art. And the great thing here is that these kids find out about it. They go to Artists for Humanity, and they may never have picked up a paintbrush before. They may have no idea what their aptitude for art is. But they go to Artists for Humanity. They have teachers, they have mentors and instructors, and they sort of make their way into their discipline. They all start by painting, but then they work their way into other elements of design and sculpture and whatnot. And it it's not just a sort of a fluffy, nice mentoring program. These kids are actually put to work. They're creating art that they then turn around and sell. And their art is sold to major corporations like Bank of America, to individuals who buy it. But now what has happened is this Boston-based souvenir chain, Color Inc., has given them a very small space in Faneuil Hall. And so Artists for Humanity has their store there. And the kids are designing a ton of stuff for the store. They're designing T-shirts and mugs. And
it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's brilliant, actually. to give these kids these confidence. And in fact, there is one kid who has designed this T-shirt with this dog. He's sort of a Boston Terrier type dog. It's sort of an iconic image. I think it's much more clever than the black dog from Martha's Vineyard. And I think it could really take off. And the great thing here is that Artists for Humanity gets the profits, but this kid would also get royalties for every single T-shirt sold. So it's just a fantastic way to teach about art, but actually make it viable and really have this lesson about art
now,
and commerce.
Is this open now in Faneuil Hall?
It's open. I went to the store. I toured it. And the other great thing is it's some of the kids' paintings are on sale there, their photography. It's really a terrific venue. And I think it's incredibly generous for this souvenir shop to turn over what could be a very, very lucrative space in a highly trafficked area.
Artists for Humanity, the store at Faneuil Hall.
And I should also just mention quickly that they have a party tonight at their headquarters in South Boston at the Epicenter from 4 to 8. Blue Ribbon Barbecue is doing a party, and a lot of the art that was created by these students over the summer will be on sale in this exhibition today.
Okay. Now, it's the end of August, a bit quiet on the art scene. So looking ahead to what we can expect to see in Boston this coming season, what are some of the highlights?
Well, I've had to start diving in already. And in fact, I was over at the ART yesterday for an upcoming story that I'll do on their premiere for the season, which is Marie Antoinette. Also sort of a piece for our times. This is a new show. It's a very, very funny script. I met the woman who's playing Marie Antoinette, and her name is Brooke Bloom. I think she's going to be phenomenal. She seems hilarious. I can't wait to see what she does with this role, especially when she has a 3-foot-tall wig, which she will. Over at the Huntington Theater Company, they're starting off with Good People, which is David Lindsay Abaire's play from Broadway last year. He's a Southie native, and this is about South Boston. It stars two big actresses in Boston, Karen McDonald and Nancy Carroll, so that should be pretty delicious. The Kite Runner is the lead-off show for the New Repertory Theater at the beginning of September. This is the New England premiere. Anybody who knows the novel, of course, this has it's an adaptation by a playwright who has spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, who actually will be visiting New Repertory Theater a couple times. And then there are a couple great exhibits coming up. Mario Testino at the MFA, he's the one who's taken a lot of photographs we know from Vogue and other very glossy, high-end magazines. He also took the official engagement portrait of William and Kate. I don't think he took the pictures of Harry, though, that we're seeing out there. So this is his first ever U.S. museum show. So there's a lot to look forward to. And then the Nutcracker is getting completely revamped. So get your tickets now. They're complete new redesign, everything from costumes to sets. And Mikko Nissinen has completed all of his choreography for the piece. So it's entirely new this year.
All right. Well, lots of good things coming up this season. Of course, we'll be talking a lot more about those and other shows, exhibits, and all things arts with Jared Bowen every Thursday morning right here on Morning Edition. Jared, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob. And you can also see all of this, too, at our website, wgbharts.org.
Remember, very good, wgbharts.org. Check it out.